Well, amen. What a greater appreciation we have for Jesus Christ and what he's done when we see the reality of our sin. Satan would love to blind us to our sin. And if you don't see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, then you don't appreciate what Almighty God did and sending his only begotten Son to this earth to pay our sin debt on Calvary's cross. When you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, then you can appreciate even more so what God has done for us. Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17. As we continue our study on Sunday nights on the teachings of Christ, and we've been studying this from in chronological order from the very first message that Jesus presented to humanity. And then it's now in the third year of his public ministry and the final year of his public ministry. And it's a year of opposition. They're trying to crucify him, trying to find fault in him, to have him crucified. And so the next event is found here in Matthew chapter 17. And this is the only recording of this particular event. Now, many of the events of the teachings of Christ are recorded in all four of the Gospels, some of them in three of the Gospels, some in two. But a few of them are only recorded in single Gospels, and that's why we have all four. That's why we study all four, amen? And we can learn all that there is to learn about every event that God has for us about the life of the Savior and the teachings of Christ. And so this one is only found in the book of Matthew. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading in verse 24, Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 down to verse 27. When they were come to Capernaum, they had received tribute money. They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." When he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you tonight, again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for every opportunity that you make available to us to draw closer to you. Thank you, Father, for what we've already experienced here tonight and the blessing of being back in church. And I just pray, God, that we would just hold on to that, but also look forward to what you have through the preaching of thy word. I ask now that you would just help us to focus on this passage of Scripture, what we are to take from this and be able to apply to our own lives. Empower the preaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Peter and Jesus at Peter's house when a tax collector comes to them. Now, maybe one of the reasons that this is found in Matthew's account is because Matthew had been a tax collector for Rome before he got saved. And so God is allowing him to pin this event because he could identify with this event more than maybe the others. The others said all tax collectors are the same and all whatever it might be. But this is only found in Matthew's event. Concerning the fish with the money to pay the taxes. And we'll be getting into that in just a few minutes here. But he came, and the tax collector here, he did not address Jesus, but he wanted to know about Jesus. And he addressed Peter. He addressed Peter This would have been Peter's house that Jesus was in there in Capernaum. And he addresses Peter about Jesus. And the first thing we look at this is, why is this recorded? And why was Peter asked? And I think the couple of different thoughts here as we looked at this, and they did in verse 24, possibly to find fault in Jesus. I believe that's what was taking place at this particular time in the life of Christ when he was presenting his final messages and preparing the disciples, especially the apostles, for what was to come. And they were looking to find fault in Christ, no doubt. And so instead of addressing Jesus, they addressed Peter to find out if Peter would maybe say something that would incriminate Jesus or get some news on him that they could use against him. We know that because over in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 15, this is what they did in Matthew's account in chapter 22. He says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." Now, every time they tried to get Jesus entangled, they found that that was an impossibility. And so that's probably why they went to Peter. But they sent out unto him their disciples with Herodias saying, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God and truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou?" And now they're building him up, thinking that they can prepare him to say something that would be self-incriminating. And what about the lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye of me, ye hypocrites?" He seen right through them. "Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, "Whose is this image and subscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So we know this was some of their mentality. This is what they're trying to do. They could not trip Jesus up so that they could present him to the Roman government for crucifixion. But they would now go to Peter to see if Peter would say something about why they had not paid taxes, or if he would be an objection to Caesar and paying these taxes. But you'll find as you study the life of Christ that he taught his disciples to be law-abiding citizens. And that's exactly what he was teaching them: render unto Caesar that which is due Caesar. So no doubt we find that this was one of the reasons they come to Peter, try to find fault in Jesus. The other is that he just had this for us to learn from his teachings as well, because we are representing Christ. He's establishing New Testament Christianity so that they would know his heart, they would know his mind, they would understand the stands that he took while he was here, and he was setting an example for all Christianity throughout this church age to follow his lead. So we have it recorded. We have it recorded that exactly what we ought to do when it comes to being law-abiding citizens. We are ambassadors. God's people around the world are ambassadors. If we go, and I've been on many missions trips, I don't go to those mission fields as a citizen of that country. I go to that mission field as an ambassador for Christ. In the United States of America, we need to realize that we are not first and foremost American citizens. If you're saved, you're an ambassador. An ambassador is someone in a foreign land, which understands this world is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But as a saved, born-again believer, I am to represent Christ. And if I'm representing Christ, I need to honor the law that have been established. Now, Romans in chapter 13, there's a couple passages of scriptures in the Word of God that reveals this very truth that Jesus is presenting to the disciples. And we find that Paul would write in the book of Romans in chapter 13, and then Peter would also write after learning this lesson. He learned the lesson right here. Then he would write in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look there too. But first of all, in Romans in chapter 13, because Jesus established this teaching, this understanding that they needed to have. Stop looking at yourself as privileged citizens of the United States. Praise the Lord. You are a citizen. That gives you certain freedoms, but that's not why we're here, to have the freedoms and to focus on our freedoms as citizens. We are here planted by the Lord in the United States of America, and we are citizens if we are, but we are here to be ambassadors. You get saved, it changes everything. It changes your position as just a citizen to an ambassador. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I love that. We are to be aware of authority. We are to be aware of the laws, and we are to obey the laws unless the laws start contradicting the higher powers that have established laws. If I'm an ambassador, then my Lord is the highest power that I look to. And so let every soul be subject to the higher powers, plural. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power or the authority resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We are not called to get out there and to fight physical battles for Christ. We are not called to arm ourselves. And we studied this, I think, the last lesson when Peter pulled out the sword and Jesus says, well, you know, if I wanted you to fight, I would have called down legions of angels and I would have equipped you and we would have, but that's not why I've come. That's not why I have called you. You're not here to fight a battle, a physical battle. You're here to fight a more important battle. That's a spiritual battle. And you're to represent me. So learn what I would have you to do and then follow my lead. Yeah. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he that beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they that are God's ministers, ambassadors, you're serving God, you're ministering to God, attending continually upon the very thing, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. If I'm on the foreign field, as I've been on, I learned the laws of the land that I'm going to be in for a while. And I'm not looking to break those laws. I'm looking to be an obedient visitor to that land so that I might represent Christ the way that Jesus would have me to represent him. The very same thing here in America. We're here to represent Christ. We have to learn the laws and we have to obey the laws so that we have a testimony. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now look over to 1 Peter. Paul learned that from the teachings of Christ. He was used by God to pin that in the book of Romans, and then over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. There's a lot of accusations that the world would love to make toward Christians. We can't give them that ammunition to use against us. Peter would say, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself. Government, submit yourself for the Lord's sake, for the testimony of Christ. This New Testament church age is not for us to establish dominance. It's not for us to establish a kingdom. It's for us to represent Christ to a lost and dying world, to be able to give them an opportunity to know who Jesus is, to see Christ in us, and want to have that very same relationship and understanding of God. They see themselves as a sinner in need of a Savior, and they'll have a greater appreciation for God. Amen. Yeah. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. I don't see how anybody can just block this passage out of the scriptures to go against the laws of the land, to go against government. It's only when the laws of the land are going opposite God's laws that you go to the higher power. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's where the testimony of Christ comes in. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the position of the presidency. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's my service to my God. It's the will of my God. Go back to our text. So we find that's why it's recorded. Possibly that's why God allowed Matthew to be the one recorded, because he understood more than any other disciples about tax collectors, what drove them, why they say what they would say, and why they did what they did. And now he is a converted tax collector. Now he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wrote. God allowed him to write 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. He learned from this particular event and the lesson of Christ. But then we find in verse 25 and verse 26, Jesus revealed to Peter paying tribute money was done out of humility and not of debt. Jesus is God. He owns everything. As God, he would not have to pay tribute to any worldly organization, any worldly country, any worldly dictator, any worldly government. So he said, it's not that we are in debt that we have to do this. But it was done out of humility. Jesus became a servant, not out of debt, but out of humility. We had better learn that sometimes we just need to humble ourselves to be have the testimony that God wants us to have to the world. Jesus would humble himself to pay tribute, taxes. No doubt that would speak volumes in preparing the disciples for the work that God had called them to during the apostolic age. Yeah. And then verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, we're going to pay the tax. We're going to pay the tribute. Not out of debt, out of humility, and for the purpose of not offending them. Jesus taught a very important truth for all believers to learn. We're not here to offend people. We're not here to cause trouble. As ambassadors for Christ, we are here with a great commission to win the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many think the way to win souls to Christ is to offend them? To be offensive. In any and every area of our life, to be offensive in how we look, how we act, how we address. That is never going to be a tool or a way of accomplishing the Great Commission. Christ-likeness is the example for Christians to be able to do the work that Christ has us here to do. It's going to get harder and harder. It is today. It's harder to be the Christian that God wants you to be today than it was 10 years ago. I mean, we could go on and on about this, but this is what God has given to us, and he has chosen you and chosen me to live here, I believe, in the final last days of the church. We look around the rapture, all the signs of the time, everything is there, but we are here, and it is the opportunity that believers have today to shine the brightest. Because the world is the darkest possibly ever been. In representing Christ, our desires ought to be to win the lost. One of the things that I tell our staff, especially when we get new staff, we get ready to train new staff or whatever, you don't help people by offending them or running them off. Well, they don't have the very same look that we have here. They don't talk the very same way that we talk here. They don't have the King James Bible as we have here. And they don't sing the same songs that we sing here, on and on and on again. And so let's just tell them to get out. You don't belong here. You can't be a part of our club. If we had a club, that'd be fine. This is not a club. This has been defined as a church. A church that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for. A church that Jesus Christ came from the heaven itself, from this heavenly kingdom. He humbled himself to come to this earth so that he might establish his church for this church age. The church is not a country club. The church is not a gathering. The church is the house of God. Doing the work that God has called us to do. What is that work? Look to Christ. He was the example on what he would have us to do until he calls the church home. Seeking to save that which is lost. Represent God to lost and dying people. Wow. You can't achieve that by offending people. You can't achieve that by running them off. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 19. Paul would write, "For though I be free from all men, I'm not a slave to anybody." That's what he's saying. I'm not a slave to anybody. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." Did you really get a hold of that? Not anybody's servant. Not anybody's slave. Except who I've made myself servant to. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." To all? Servant to all? Come on, surely you don't mean to younger than I am, or less attractive than I am, or less financially well off than I am. Wouldn't take a lot there, but I can pick and choose who I want to be servant to. I can pick and choose who I want to be free from. No, 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 no. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now, Paul knew he couldn't save anybody. You know, and I know we can't save anybody. But we have to intercede. We have to bring the lost to Christ. And we have to take Christ to the lost. That's our position today. That's our position of representing Christ. That's what he did. He was the mediator between God and man. No man could come to the Father yet by him, but by him. He established a testimony for all Christianity throughout the entire church age to follow after. This could be life-changing if you don't understand that. Be life-changing if you don't see yourself as a sinner. But when the moment you see yourself as a sinner, can I tell you, it opens up a greater appreciation for who God is. As soon as you see the example of Christ, what he did, how he came, and what he passed on to us, the greater the appreciation we can have for the church. A lesson taught not to offend. If we're not going to offend, we have to be aware of perception. Amen? I don't care what anybody else thinks. Oh, yeah, well, you're not living for Christ then. Because a lot of times it's all about perception. How will others view what we are presenting by way of our testimony as Christians? Wherever you work, everyone around you is going to be impacted by your testimony in some way. Have you ever thought about their perception of your Christianity? Have you ever thought about their perception of Christ in you. It might be, you've heard it said before, you might be the only Christ that somebody else is ever going to see. In your home, first generation Christians, it can be tough, first generation Christians. You're the only Christian that your family's ever saw. They've been blinded to it. They don't see themselves as sinners. They don't see themselves in need of a Savior. They don't see themselves as a need to humble themselves for the sake of Christ, for the work. And you, how you present Christ to them could be an offense and used of the devil for them to justify how they live. I have heard that so many times. Well, this old guy, he was supposed to be a Christian, and this is what he did. I'm a lot better a person than he is. If he can live like that and go to heaven, surely I can go to heaven no matter what I do, because I'm a better person than he is. Well, he's not the one that sets as judge. He's not the one that you're going to have to confess to and be accountable to. But you will confess to God. You will give an account of yourself to an almighty creator God who sent his son to be the example that we are to look to. You follow others as they follow Christ. It's good when you know that, but a lot of the lost world doesn't know that. How will others view what we are presenting by way of our testimony as Christians? Our church status. Many see it as only convenience, especially after COVID. It's not even a necessity. I mean, all we have to do, if we want, just turn on the television. It's not something that we have to do. Why? Because I know a lot of Christians that aren't committed to church. But the truth of it is, what kind of church could we have if all we had was empty pews? There for a while during COVID, I preached a lot of empty pews. But I knew it was going out live stream, and it was here being heard by thousands of people. Amen? And even now, our television ministry, I think the last one goes into about 1,000 homes, and our live stream is up. I mean, it's unreal how many people are being touched by the ministries here through live stream and through our TV ministries. But can I tell you, none of those are as important as the assembling of ourselves together, because this assembling of ourselves together is what God established. He didn't establish live stream, although he knew we would have it. He didn't establish television, although he knew we'd have it. He established the church. And told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's the testimony. Your neighbors ought to see you every Sunday morning. Leave your house. Not in swimsuits and bathing wear and all the different, but in a clothing that would represent going to honor and to worship a God. That's a testimony. When they see you getting in the same clothes and going back Sunday night, that's a testimony. When they see you on a midweek service doing the very same thing, they're thinking, how many days of the week do you go to church? That's a testimony. That's not forsaking. That's not forsaking. What's their perception? What's their perception with our associations in the world? You find yourself ever going somewhere that you're looking around to see if anybody from church sees you? That's a perception of associations with the world. Because Christ sees you there. Would that be the place you would like to be when the rapture takes place? 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Let me just read this to you. I've not got much more. Just let me share the last few thoughts here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye believers, ambassadors for Christ, separated from worldly associations, because that's not the testimony that I want to give of my perception of Christ. Touch not the unclean thing, the sins of this world, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be the sons, my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, you want to be in my family, you want to represent me like I want you to represent me, then don't be associated with the things of the world. Your testimony is worth more than whatever enjoyment you're going to get out of the associations of the world. Because people will perceive things that might not be the will of God, and Satan, you use that as an offense. What about our identification with the ungodliness? Identification with ungodliness. First Corinthians in chapter 6, the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Could I ever identify as a fornicator and be right with God? Nor idolaters. Can I ever be right with God and identify with being at a place that does not represent the doctrines of Christ? An idolatry, worshiping idols or other gods? Nor adulterers. Could that ever happen to me? What kind of testimony would I have to others if they seen me as an adulterer? And the world has seen many, many, many Christians as adulterers. The world has viewed many, many men in positions as pastors and deacons as adulterers, and it has been offensive in giving perception for Satan to use. Nor effeminate. Well, that's a hot topic. Have some people got a tendency to be effeminate? They can be. A lot of times through how they're raised, a lot of times through different things, but you don't give in to it. And you don't let the world tell you that's really who you are. So if you're an effeminate man, then you just need to be a woman. Or if you're a masculine woman, then you just need to be a man. That's offensive. And Satan will use that. The perception. As a man, I should be looking to represent Christ as a man. If I have effeminate characteristics and effeminate even desires and how I want to look, I need to change them. If I am a woman and I have masculinity type of desires, I need to change my desires, because I am not here to please myself. I am here as a born-again believer to represent Christ. And if I identify with that, which is not going to go to heaven, not going to have a relationship with God, what kind of perception do other people have? Modesty. Well, preacher, I just like to wear certain immodest clothing. Listen, do you realize that's an offense to the cause of Christ? Because what's the perception of others at looking at your immodesty? I'm just saying. Maybe we need to stop, rethink this thing. He humbled himself so that he would not offend. And he paid tribute. Many times we offend and do not even know how the devil's using that and in the past, present, and how he will use it in the future. And then going back. Amen. Everybody follow me? Yeah, I mean, these are issues we have to deal with. Can I tell you, it's issues of the day. The world is getting worse and worse in all these different areas. If it's not for the witness of the true church, the world's not going to have a witness. If you're saved, you're no longer a citizen. You're an ambassador. Stop seeing yourself with the rights of citizenship and start looking at your commission as an ambassador for Christ. That'll make a difference. In closing, go back with me our text, Matthew chapter 17. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. I'm not looking to offend anybody because you don't help people by offending them. I'm not looking to run anybody off. You're not helping them by running them off. You need to take a stand and give them an example of Christ. Go thou into the sea and cast and hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, what connects this very unusual miracle to the teachings that we've just presented? It was an awareness now for Peter of Jesus being able to meet all his needs. He didn't need the world. Didn't need the applause of men. Doesn't need to identify with ungodliness. He's got Christ. And Christ is all I need. A unique experience with a specific need met that no one would have ever thought of. I've got to pay taxes now because Jesus said we got to pay taxes. I've got to not only pay my tax, I got to pay his tax. And he's telling me to go fishing. Now, I want to go fishing, so I'm going to go fishing. But there's something about the first catch of the day. When you catch him, open his mouth. And when you open his mouth, there'll be the exact amount of money to take care of you and Christ. Whoa! Is there any more fish out there? I think he might have stayed and fished an extra hour or two. But the only one that had the money in it was the one Jesus told him would have in it. And it was specific to what Jesus wanted him to understand because he wanted him to go away from that thinking, all I need is Christ. He can supply my need even through a fish. He knows my need. If I just become the ambassador he wants me to be, he'll take care of my every need. And I believe this would have been an opportunity for Peter's faith to be strengthened. Peter would walk away, smile and shaking his head, saying, "Only God." Only God could do what I just experienced having done. Only God. Can I tell you, when you look to be an ambassador and you commit yourself to representing Christ, you'll have more of these types of experiences that will encourage you to keep on serving Christ, not as a citizen, something much greater, as his ambassador. If I could have every head bowed tonight. You can be a citizen and you can do whatever you want to do as a citizen. You can be worldly and you can be immodest and you can do all the things you want, but you can't be an ambassador. Choose. Choose. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth, the teachings that you presented to the apostles that they would learn from and turn the world upside down in that first century. Help us, because we need the very same teachings and we need to apply the very same biblical principles in this 21st century to turn this world upside down. Bless in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.